Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast!
All right, mate, how you doing? Welcome back to another Spencer FC podcast. Big shout out to our sponsors, DreamTeamFC.com. They make it all possible. I've got a weekly blog on there. I recommend you check it out at your leisure. Okay, today I have two guests, both of which have been on the podcast together before. It's a dream team, the TG Dream Team, that goes by the name of Thomas Gray and True Geordie. How are you guys?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good, mate.
It's good to see you again.
You're not looking too good.
Well, it's because I've got a bit of a problem. I tend to rock back and forth, which causes havoc for the editors, apparently. So I've decided to just stay as rigidly sort of at a right angle as possible.
You really remind me of my granddad right now. He has the exact same jumper.
Yeah, I got this for £4.
He rocks back in his chair a lot, but that's deliberate.
British Heart Foundation the other day.
Bargain.
Yeah, it is an actual bargain, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We've had to be quite stern with Tom this week. Basically, he's got a problem. He leans back. He likes to go into the mic really close. Yeah. He likes to go really far away, so you can't hear him. I'm doing this for demonstration purposes now. We won't edit that to make it sound better. We'll show you what it sounds like if you leave it. Okay. It's very annoying for editing the sound. So he's been told this week he's going to stay stationary, like he's wearing a back brace, like he's a young Forrest Gump.
Yeah, it does actually feel like that a bit.
Okay. On with the show.
But the problem is the chair goes all the way back.
This is why I try and mine does that, but I just resist the temptation. Don't go back.
If I could tighten it, maybe.
He needs to learn to resist temptation, mate.
We'll look into tightening the chair.
I have the same problem with women, mate. It's a curse.
You've got chairs.
The problem I have with chairs.
Exact same.
You've got to tighten the chair in your mind.
Okay. You can't stop sitting on chairs, and women can't stop sitting on me. So it's one of those problems, lads.
Brilliant. Brilliant banter.
We're off.
Okay, it's the day after the transfer deadline day has closed. It's the morning after the night before. It kicked off big time last night. I think there was a few... I mean, some people were saying it was disappointing, deadline day. I don't know about that, because it's January. January, you don't see the big deals being done. We did see a massive piece of news yesterday, which we will get onto, which was... essentially not really a transfer, but kind of. Mm-hmm. But the big reel, I guess, in terms of buying, was Stoke's last-minute buy. Spent their record transfer fee, $18.3 million, on Mbula from Porto. Do you know anything about this guy?
Not a lot about him, but $18.3 million, Stoke. Can imagine saying that like 5 years ago, that people would have just been like, no way.
You could have bought Stoke about three times for 18 million.
Everyone keeps complaining about the transfer fees right now. Newcastle spending too much on this player, or is Berahino worth this, that and the other? Stoke are spending nearly £19 million on one player. That's where the transfer market's gone. It's only going to get even crazier when the new TV money gets in next year as well.
How have they suddenly got all this money?
It's TV, isn't it? It's TV. Everyone in the Premier League has been in there for a few years now. It's absolutely minted. Mm-hmm. Mbula, though, 19 million, 18.3 million, no international caps. Was essentially a flop at Porto. Moved there this season. Mm-hmm. I asked some of the guys on. I don't know a lot about him, but I asked some of the guys on Twitter to inform me. A lot of the Porto fans were saying he's rubbish.
Apparently, he could play for Belgium or France as well. He hasn't picked his nationality.
Well, no international caps yet. Mm. Again, so is that a bit of a gamble of sorts? Like, I mean, I like the fact that Stoke are backing themselves. I like the fact that they're adding quality or supposed quality around the likes of Shaqiri, Bojan. They're going to feel when Stoke go out and buy something like that that it's a good club to be at because they're giving them good players around
until
them.
The move there, and then obviously the reality is set in. But I think Mark Hughes, if he gets this right and this comes off for him, his reputation as a manager is going to go through the roof because he's already done better with Stoke than anyone's ever done with them. He's turned them from a Route 1 Tony Pulis team into an actual very good, very decent footballing team. And all the transfers, Arnautovic, Bojan and Shaqiri, have paid off brilliantly. So if he goes well as well, I think he's going to deserve a lot of respect, to be honest, mate.
It feels like Stoke is Mark Hughes' kind of coming-of-age job. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the one where he's really going to get some credit for if he keeps doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not tearing the world alight, setting the world alight right now, but they're not doing badly. The most important thing is that when they win by playing good football now. Mm-hmm. They don't win by just lumping it up.
When they battered Man City, that was the turning point for me. Like,
yeah.
How old's Jonathan Walters?
Oh, he's getting on. I think he might actually be coming to the end of his contract at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. He's available.
Jonathan Walters is 32.
Okay.
Just heard it in my ear. I wanted to say I've just heard something in my ear.
I'm just hearing. Yeah, we have breaking news.
Yeah. Breaking news. He's still 32.
He's still 32. Birthday's not for a few weeks.
Jonathan Walters today turned 32 in a controversial move.
From 31.
Yeah.
To be fair, transfer deadline day, you guys are both Newcastle fans. We've got to give you your club some credit, I think. Much like the opposite of Aston Villa, you backed yourselves in the market. It remains to be seen whether it was good money spent or not, because if you were to go down and you've spent a lot of money on the likes of Townsend, Shelvey, Saviette, is it? Saviette?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Right?
You obviously are going to have a bigger wage bill, but maybe they've got relegation clauses, I don't know. The point is, you spent £29 million, you backed yourselves, and if you stay up, it's well worth it because you're going to make like 10 times that in revenue money. Aston Villa, on the other hand, nothing.
They've accepted it, haven't they?
They're basically down. Their head's in the Championship. I feel for Remy Gard, the manager, because he's come there and it's not much like Sherwood, to be fair, before him. It's not a new thing. Sherwood came, did well at Tottenham, had to sell Delphin Benteke and buy in non-proven players. He had no chance from day one either.
I'm kind of glad to see Aston Villa go down, to be honest. I know there's fans out there, probably nice fans and whatever, but I just remember them laughing at us when we got relegated. They relegated us quite a while back.
Oh, I remember that as well,
and,
yeah.
It sort of stuck with us a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I hate them now as well. Yeah. Just
and, you know, there's probably some decent fans out there, but I remember that and it stuck in my head. So they're a club that's for ages and ages just racked in the Premier League money and they haven't invested it back into the team. And this is what happens. Newcastle learnt a lesson just in time, potentially. We might still get out of jail. We still could go down, to be honest. But I think with the quality we've got, we needed a ball player. We've got Jonjo Shelvey. Needed a winger.
That ball or bald?
A bald player. Okay. A bald player.
Needed a bald player.
A bald player.
Our bald yeah. quality was underperforming.
We've got Townsend. Dumbia.
Townsend's going bald as well a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, so he needs to get... Just accept it, mate. I don't know why they cling on. Just let it go. In the maybe words John of Joe, Frozen.
Maybe, words of
Let
Frozen.
It go.
Good film.
Maybe John Joe will inspire him.
Yes.
And the best thing about your transfers is you actually bought a couple of Englishmen. Yeah. Instead of some Frenchmen. You almost bought a third. You tried your best, to be fair, to get Berahino.
I don't want him.
You don't want him?
No. I don't like that attitude. I don't like his...
I don't like his attitude either, but unfortunately... Like, beggars can't be choosers, and when you know you desperately need a goal poacher... You've got to want them, do you know what I mean? You've got to want to play and get a goal in every other game for a period of time for West Brom,
yeah.
You know, who never have the ball. We create quite a lot of chances now, as you've seen when we played you, mate. So I think with Berahino...
One game.
Well, it was a great game. Berahino feeding off all of that service, I think he would actually... Yeah. It would have been a good move for him.
But then he would have, in a year, he would have just had a strop with us because he wouldn't be allowed to go to Tottenham or something.
Probably. Well, yeah, because the problem was that he wanted to go to a bigger club. And yes, Newcastle is bigger, but at the same time, he was probably thinking he was going to go to like a Spurs or somewhere. And the one thing to say to him, to be fair, I don't know if you saw his Twitter last night, he has responded better this time. Last window, obviously, he was throwing his toys out the pram, saying, I'm never going to play for them again. This window, he just tweeted something along the lines of, I know you guys are expecting me to say something really petulant and be a sport brat and kid again. Not going to happen. I'm going to bed. That's what he said, and he was like, fair play. Best case scenario for him now is that he plays to the end of the season, scores a load of goals, maybe even goes to the Euros, unlikely, but gets a chance at that, then gets a move in the summer. Now, for West Brom, they kept him. If they stay up and he helps them secure that, it was a good move, even if they end up sending him for $5 million, because it's worth it.
There is one risk, though, which if, say, West Brom were going to stay up anyways, and then they've held on to Berahino, and Pulis does what he tends to do, which is, I'm going to put him in his place and let him rot on the bench, a good young English talented goal scorer, which is so rare, he could then end up valued less than $21 million in cash, which is what Newcastle offered, and I think there's every chance he could end up valued less than that. In which case, I think West Brom will be kicking themselves, really, because...
Yeah, I think they're expecting that, to be fair. It reminds me a little bit of the Charlie Austin situation. QPR were trying to get $15 million for him last summer. I think they had offers of 10 on the table. They weren't taking them. And then they end up sending him for $4 million a window later because his contract's running down. Now, speaking of Charlie Austin, is that the move of the window, the best deal? $4 million?
Yeah, it's definitely up there. Like, if he stays injury-free, he's going to bang goals in for Southampton and they're going to create more chances for him than he got at QPR. So,
yeah,
probably bargain. And
also, obviously, he already scored a goal against Man United off the bench.
That doesn't really prove now because Man United aren't a very good team, though. That's quite an easy...
True.
Let's see what he does against top teams like Newcastle and West Ham, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you threw West Ham in there, I'll agree with you. Any other... I do think the Shelvey is a really good buy for you guys.
I do.
Yeah. I think I actually rate Townsend as well. I don't think he's amazing, but I've seen him... The reason I have a bit of an affection towards Townsend is last year I went to two England games in a row, or two of three England games in a row at Wembley, and he scored... amazing goals.
Was that when he was killing it?
Yeah, like, and he was bossing it for England, not really for Spurs. He's got that in his locker.
He did all right for Spurs. He had like a run of seven goals or something, didn't he? And
we had that problem, didn't he? We had a little. We pushed the trainer or something, or the physio or someone, and they put him in the reserve for a bit. And I think he's never really come back since then. But all these people saying, basically, because it was 12 million, it wasn't like a cheap deal. All these people saying it's a bad move, but it's definitely a good buy to get him off of Spurs, just whether he delivers.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the bottom three, you've just got to try and get better players than what you've got. And when I've seen so many people like having a pop in Newcastle and say, well, at least we're trying to get ourselves out
exactly.
of it. Villa are dead and buried and they've just accepted it.
So. My only problem with the Newcastle buyers, as much as they're good and you try to get Berahino, is you weren't even contemplating improving the defence.
I can't believe that. I can't believe it. Colaccini, like I've said a million times before, he is the family dog. We just need to get rid of him, and we need defenders in desperately.
The idea that everyone's just trying to get rid of their family dogs. Yeah. We've got to get rid of this family dog.
If it's a lovely, new, fresh, happy puppy like Joey,
you keep Joey.
Yeah. You don't put Joey down, but Colaccini, put him down.
Yeah, bullet between the eyes.
Yeah. He'll not feel it. He'll be gone before he knows anything's even happened, mate.
Well, this is what I love about it. It's like Newcastle, like, right, defence is sorted. We don't need to improve that. Yeah.
It's
perfect. It's
unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's get some strikers in. It's literally the opposite of that.
We've got Paul Dummett.
Yeah, I mean...
We're fine.
I do think your attacking options are much better now, and you did need to bolster that, so fair play. But, yeah, didn't even hear you linked with a defender or anything. Like,
no.
There's just no...
Not interested, mate.
Mate, it's just about scoring. It's the Keegan philosophy. We'll try and score more than the opposition, you'll be fine.
It's the opposite of Van Gaal, basically. That's what we're trying to do.
The inverted leaving out. It's very popular at the moment. The big thing we have to talk about is what essentially hijacked transfer deadline day yesterday. The big move from Man City, finally appointing Pep Guardiola. He'll be coming in at the end of the season, replacing Pellegrini. Before we get into this, first thoughts. Great move for City.
Fantastic move for Manchester City. I feel like Pellegrini's been underachieving, even though he's won a league title. I felt like he won that league title purely because Liverpool bottled it and Chelsea then handed it over themselves to Man City. And I feel like he's been very lucky to win that league title. I think he's tactically naive. They need someone who's a lot more creative tactically. I think this is exactly what Guardiola's going to bring to the table, mate. You know, he's been there, done it, been with the best teams in the world. It's a slightly, not that easy job. But at the end of the day, you're always going to take the best jobs available.
Exactly.
And one thing, the main thing I took from it was I just couldn't believe how easy it was for Manchester City to go and get him. And Man United, desperate for a top manager, didn't even put up a fight because they
knew. Do we know this, though?
I believe that...
I can fly.
Touch the sky. No,
I think about it every now and then.
I don't know how far we can take this, lads. That's right. In all seriousness, I think that Man United didn't even try, and I think that speaks volumes about where they are mentally as a club, this top dog that we've known all our lives. I think they're just accepted. They're not even the biggest club in Manchester right now.
What about Chelsea? Were they trying to get Guardiola?
I thought he would have gone to London.
He's a London bloke, skinny suit.
In New York and Munich, and he's cosmopolitan, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I've only been to London a few times, but he definitely would blend in down here. Definitely.
I can imagine him in an art gallery.
Especially around Chelsea.
Especially around Chelsea.
Those people. I kind of looking at people around Chelsea the other day thinking.
Oh, horrible, aren't they?
They're strange looking people, these lot.
I couldn't believe
how tight one man's trousers was. I was like, can you breathe in them, pal? Yeah. If he farted, I think the seams would come to part.
Are you a Pep fan, Tom?
He's a better looking man than Pellegrini. He's going to look better, isn't he, in the sort of photos and stuff.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Which is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yes.
I reckon he'll be able to attract the world's best players to the Premier League. So for that reason, great.
But we knew he was coming to the Premier League anyway.
He'd announced that.
So it's just a case of where. I feel like... I'm glad
it wasn't Chelsea.
No, me too. I mean, I think it's great. I think that City have had the pieces they needed to win a load of titles back-to-back for a few years now, and no one's put them together yet. He could be that guy to build a little bit of a dynasty. But it does annoy me, all the sort of, not hate, but criticism he gets. Oh, he takes the easy jobs. It's like, if you were offered... a chance to go and work at an amazing company where you get paid loads of money, or a company that doesn't do as well and they pay you less money and you're going to be working with worse people, you're going to take the better job. Fair play if Man United were offering double what City were offering, and he's got to do more work and he takes that job because he wants to prove, because he would have proved more if he'd turned Man United around, because they're not in the place that City
are.
But having said that, how many managers have we seen You know, everyone's saying, oh, he managed the best squads, he's obviously going to win everything. Not true. Loads of people. Jose Mourinho managed Real Madrid for a few years, one of the best managers. Only did he win one league title, I think? Basically, most of his time there was beaten by Guardiola. We've seen Pellegrini at City not do it with this squad, essentially. Like, yeah, he's won the league. He's won a cup at one cup. He may win more this season, but he's not really fulfilled his potential.
City, I think, he'll probably look at it as it's a big club where he can do all this stuff. That's never had a Champions League. He could be the guy that wins them. That's a challenge probably for someone like him.
I think that
he's interested in establishing this history.
This is his biggest challenge by a mile. I think I will say that Guardiola. Even though Man City have got more money than anyone else in the Premier League, they can spend so much money, and they should have steamrolled it this season. With the Premier League being the way it is, like Leicester going to the top of the league, anyone can beat anyone. That's not something he's going to be used to. In Germany, in Spain, you know, you pretty much can predict the results when it comes to Barcelona playing any team, it's or true. Bayern Munich playing any team. You can predict that they're going to win most games. With this, I think he's going to be surprised. I think he's going to have games where he plays a Stoke and he gets shocked every now and then. If he overcomes the Premier League and dominates, and absolutely dominates, even with the money, I think he'll win a lot of people over. I think it'll be much more impressive than anything he's done so far.
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing would be if Pellegrini did go on and win the league and the Champions League even. I know he's not going to win the Champions League, but let's say he did. Mm-hmm. Or the FA Cup, whatever.
He's in all four, isn't he?
Yeah, they could theoretically win the quadruple. Mm. Never been number four. Imagine that, just being told to leave at the end of that. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it is physically possible. And we've actually had a list of managers prepared for us who have had similar situations. Vincent Del Bosque, obviously a very successful Spain manager, was manager at Real Madrid, was let go 48 hours after winning La Liga. In the 4 years there, he also won two European Cups and another La Liga, the World Club Cup and the European Super Cup. But that wasn't enough for Real Madrid. Unbelievable.
Bayern Munich with, what was he called, the guy before Guardiola?
Osmar Hitzfeld.
He won the treble, didn't he? Or
very successful, very successful manager. This is the danger when you do announce it early, I think, because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
I do think it was disrespectful to Pelé. I know he's taken it well and everything, but...
I know what you mean, because I think... Basically, they knew they wanted to get him in. Pellegrini knew, he said he'd known for a month.
Yeah.
They were like, let's get it out in the press. But the problem is the players now know. The problem is that he knows he's going regardless. How motivated is he? Because maybe he gets a financial bonus if they win some stuff. Mate, it looks good for his CV if he wants another job. He's getting a bit older, Pellegrini, though.
Well, yeah, maybe.
He looks like he's decaying, to be quite honest.
He does look like a corpse.
Rigor mortis has set in.
He's got wet eyes. He looks CGI to me. He looks CGI. Big wet eyes. Really impressive PS4 CGI.
From a zombie rom-com. Yeah, I mean, there's others. Fabio Capello also was very successful. Real Madrid.
Ancelotti, to be fair, I thought Ancelotti was very hard done by Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I mean, wins the Champions League, La Decima. He struggles a bit to compete with the greatest front three we've ever seen in one team, as you would. Mm. And then the sack him for that, I thought, well, they deserve what they got with the Benitez problems after that, really.
Yeah. The good thing could be with Guardiola at City is obviously when he was at Barcelona, he had Messi, Ballon d'Or winner, best player in the world. Went to Bayern, had Robben, who'd been in the Ballon d'Or shortlist, and Neuer. He's gone to City. Yeah, they've got Aguero. They've got De Bruyne coming through, some world-class players, but none of those guys are really in that shortlist right now or in the top three. He could be the guy that actually gets a Premier League player back in that Ballon d'Or reckoning, I think.
I think if anyone, it'll be interesting to see if he can bring the best out of Aguero, because I feel like when I watch Aguero, and I've said for a long time, when everyone was raving about Eden Hazard, I always said he kind of lace Aguero's boots. And I think that's quite clear now. But if you can get him to that next level, it'll be great to see a Premier League player finally like the way Suarez was in his last season, you know.
The thing is, though, I feel like where it is at that level, he just gets injured.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't need to be made better. He just needs to be able to stay fit.
Exactly. He just needs someone to look after him a bit better, maybe.
Give him some cotton wool. Mm-hmm. And Guardiola does have loads of cotton wool, so that's going to be handy. All right, well, the transfer deadline date is done, Dusty. We're not going to see any more deals now until summer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to talk about something a little bit different. Sometimes people say you don't talk enough about foreign leagues. I actually was in Italy this weekend at the Milan Derby for AC Milan versus Inter Milan, also known as the Derby della Madonnina. I learnt out there.
Thank you, mate.
Which
I'm learning things on this show.
I'll tell you more. No little. It's a statue of the Virgin Mary atop one of the cathedral in the centre of the Duomo in the middle of the city. And because it overlooks the city, and obviously both the clubs are from the city, it's like Madonna is like their Mary, so it's the derby of...
A lot of statues around there.
They love statues, mate.
Find strange about them statues, always very small penises.
Very true. I was in the British Museum the other day and looking, I was noticing that. One of them and dad is knocked off entirely.
Are they really gifted, or like they've evolved?
Have a willy that looks like a sort of milk bottle.
Listening, Italians? Can you confirm? Is the male appendage in Italy smaller?
Yeah, maybe it is. Well, get the women on because they'll tell the truth.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. The fellas will.
And we have loads of women listeners, so
obviously.
Yeah. But the derby was an interesting one. AC Milan came out 3-0 winners in the end. Despite being, I think they're in sixth at the time, Inter Milan were in third. So, massive win for them against their rivals. Goals from Alex, former Chelsea centre back,
mm-hmm.
Carlos Bacca, who moved there this year from Spain.
Sevilla.
And the third goal was from Niang.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing I noticed from the game was obviously Balotelli came off the bench as well. Great reaction when he came off the bench. He's sort of like a running joke over there. They're like, they love him because he's rubbish. What I noticed most was just how the standard had just deteriorated of those two teams. It was a good game to watch, but the players playing couldn't hold a candle up to like the Shevchenkos and the Rui Costas and the.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you because I grew up like you'd wake up on the weekends and you'd watch it on Channel 4.
Football Italia
yeah. had the nice Goal intro.
Oh, Lazio!
Everyone loved that, and you had like Francesco Totti who's still playing now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad the league is. He's playing, what is he, 50? Do you know what I mean? He's still getting the kick around.
60. Yeah.
Him and Battistuta and Christian Vieri and Del Piero in that prime was awesome. But now, I think that's deteriorated the most out of all the leagues. Like, it's just dropped so far. And I think the scandal of what happened killed that league so badly. And but then it makes us wonder, you know, Paul Pogba, everyone's raving about him, how he's going to be the next best player in that. Well, he's playing in a really poor league. Like, let's see him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Juventus are a slight exception to the rule. I feel like they are. I mean, obviously, Champions League finalists last year. I feel like they are one of the top European clubs, and that's why they. I mean, they had a really bad start to the season, but they just won 12 games on the trot,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting back up to the top of the league now in the second right now by Napoli, who also are smashing it. So I do think that. I mean, the best teams in the league are good. The most important thing to me is that the AC Milan and the Inter aren't the best teams.
Mm.
They have, like, you know how like we sort of look at Liverpool now as formula great in England now,
The fans didn't turn up for AC Milan for a while, didn't they? They boycotted like massively. Like literally nobody showed up at one point. Fair play to them, but it is a shame because I used to Newcastle played Milan. You know we went and Shearer got a couple of goals over there back in the Champions League days.
Yeah.
It's a shame what's happened to them.
Well, I was finding out more about it, talking to some people over there, and essentially what happened for them was Berlusconi, obviously the prominent politician who owns the club, decided to take all his money out, essentially, just wanted to stop spending money. So that's why we saw Pirlo leave, which was huge, because Pirlo didn't just leave, he went to Juventus, he got released, I think, and he went to Juventus, who obviously went on a massive run, winning the league for a load of years, taking AC Milan's place. We basically didn't see them spend any money after that, bringing other people. They got rid of Ibrahimovic, they got rid of Thiago Silva, both to PSG, one of the best centre-backs in the world at the time. And then they brought in people who didn't cost as much, essentially, and weren't as good. You know?
Who's their star player now, then?
Well, right now, their star player, Carlos Bacca, has come in. They brought in Luis Adriano, didn't even play, because apparently wants to go.
That Niang guy's one of those future stars on Football Manager, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't... To be honest, everyone's saying he had a great game, because he got a goal and assist, and he got a great cross for Bacca's goal, but I actually thought he wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the highlights, he was good, but on the ball, he gave the ball away a lot. Their best player, really. I mean, they've got Montolivo... this guy, Bonaventura, they're raving about at the moment. But there is no real massive names in that team anymore.
Mm.
Inter Milan have got some okay players. They just signed this Adair guy, not the Adair from Swansea, a different one. Signed him, I think, from Sampdoria. They just sold Guarin, who's a popular player.
How was the defending? Because to me, Italian football's identity was built on Maldini, Nesta, Cannavaro, these amazing defenders.
Crazy,
was it like... organised like it used to be, or was it just
I must admit, I didn't,
standard?
I didn't see that at all, really. Uh-huh. I think that the game was much more open than I thought it would be. Aye. It was 0-0 for about 25 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Alex got a goal from a header. Then the second half, it just kicked off massively. Mm-hmm. Inter actually missed the penalty. The best thing, actually, about AC Milan right now is their keeper, 16 years old, mm-hmm. Donnarumma.
Oh, yeah, I heard
this
about
kid.
That.
Now, talk about future Football Manager star. This guy has got it all. Casillas, De Gea. Neuer, none of them came through at 16.
No.
Uh-huh. Goalkeepers do not come through at 16. It just doesn't happen.
They haven't got the build for it.
Casillas was young, which is crucial. Casillas was like 19, but 16 is another.
I think Casillas won a Champions League at like 19. Yeah, something fair play to him. Donnarumma's not going to do that in Milan anytime soon. Apparently, One of the I heard Balotelli has the same agent as Donnarumma and a lot of other players. I think he might be Zlatan's agent as well. Quite a famous agent, and he's a little bit sneaky as agents tend to be. And one of the reasons AC brought Balotelli back on loan from Liverpool is the agent was saying, "Oh, Balotelli wants to come home, bring him home." And they were like, "Mate, we're not having Balotelli back. It's a nightmare." And they were like, "Oh, interesting, because I think Donnarumma might be fancying a trip to Madrid, mate."
Jesus.
So they were like, "Okay, Balotelli, come back."
That does happen a lot.
That's what happens.
It happens a lot more than people realise.
Yeah, agents do run the game as much as anyone else these days. And you think clubs have all the power, they buy who they want, but no, because they've got an agent. If he represents 15 of the top players in the world, he can just play everyone like a fiddle.
That doesn't feel right to me.
But anyway, Serie A, you know, AC Milan, Inter Milan, they're trying to get back amongst it. For me, the main teams over there right now, obviously Juve, Napoli, Roma have got probably the third best squad over there. So, yeah, that's Serie A. It was nice to talk about the Italian league for a change, though.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I did, yeah.
I'm a very big fan of Italian food as well. I like that. So, honourable mention.
Yeah, honourable mention to pasta. Well done. Pizza, keep up the good work.
Yeah. Folded pizza, calzone.
Calzone.
Oh, that bolognese. Oh, yeah.
Well done, Italy. Well done.
Wine.
Beautiful.
Okay, so next thing I want to talk about is, because last time we had you in, True Geordie, obviously what we do when we have guests in often is we talk about them, their lives, and find out more about them. We've done all that review. We don't need to know any more. It's boring. We've covered it. But as you're now officially, I became a friend of the show for James Buckley's podcast last week, so it was my second appearance. This is your second appearance, so you're officially now a friend of the show.
Am I the first friend of the show?
You're the first, apart from Tom, you're the first repeat offender.
First friend of the show, like that.
Yeah, funny, first friend of the best friend of the show.
Best
so
friend.
Far,
yeah. So yeah, so far, best yeah. You may be so moved.
Number
off.
One.
But as you're a friend of the show, rather than talk about your life again, we'll talk about why you're here. One of the reasons you're here and Tom's here is that we're filming another Benchwarmers later. Right. Did you enjoy Benchwarmers first time out?
I did actually. I loved it. It was a really good laugh. Yeah,
you guys did really lose though.
We lost, but I think we won in entertainment terms.
We won in the hearts and minds of all of the viewers. I feel like. Show stealers is one of the things I've seen hashtagged a lot after that.
Yeah. Are you hoping to win in actual points terms this time?
I actually really do want to win this time.
I don't care. I just want to be the fun. I want to be the most fun.
The most fun. He was the kid at school who, when you put him on the track and like a race, he would run the other way and be like, "No, I'm doing something different. I just want to have fun. I'm going to play around us."
Well, you are going to be on the same team again. You're going to be reuniting your TG partnership. Brilliant. You're going to be taking on Mr. Herder of Buffalo. It's an exclusive, by the way. Herder of Buffalo, YouTuber. Cool. You probably aren't aware of him, Tom.
Never
aware of anyone. And
he actually thinks he's like a shepherd somewhere.
We've got a shepherd in. Actual shepherd. And also Chris MD. Both of which were teammates of mine in the Wembley Cup.
I remember.
You commentated that.
Decent player, Chris MD, from what
Decent
I recollect.
Decent little mover in there, mate.
Is he a doctor?
Not yet.
Oh, but he... Okay.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's
a doctor,
MD.
Doctor of pack openings.
Yeah.
Right. He's got a PhD in pulling Ronaldo. Okay. Out of packs.
Out of packs. Yeah. Not...
No. So that's that. We're going to film Benchwarmers later, episode number 2. Got a few twists and turns in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Something else I want to talk about before we end the show with a Shin Pad Chronicles reading is something YouTube based, not actually about football, but something that's come up on YouTube, a bit of a controversy, and I wanted to get everyone's
opinion.
I think
I know what you mean, mate.
You know what I'm going to talk about?
I do.
This will be news to you, Tom, because you're never aware of anything that
happens. I did watch the World of the Superstar YouTubers last night on Channel 4, which was all about you guys. Well, you two weren't in it, but others were.
That was the first mistake.
Who was on that?
KSI.
All the same old guys.
Loads of like...
really same old there, Spencer. New ideas is what they need, mate.
Zoella and...
Well, I'm on the iPlayer right now, so I'll take that over Channel 4 any day of the week. It's an institution, mate. Went to Manchester last week, was in a show called The Beautiful Gamers, hosted by Dan Walker of the BBC.
Oh, is it the Dan Walker? I saw that on you.
Yeah, talking all... Just get your bag out, mate. What are you getting out of your bag?
I was getting the shin pad chronicles.
What the hell is he doing?
I'm supposed to read
that. He's getting my shin pads out.
This lad might not be aware of what's going on YouTube right now.
Just wait till we do that bit, mate.
I'll wait till it.
What were you saying? He hasn't figured out what?
He hasn't even figured out that if you want to record on your iPhone, you can tilt it widescreen and then record that way. He still records.
I thought that was a choice of yours.
It is a part of the chart.
It's not.
Part
it's not part of the chart.
So I commented that beneath a number of videos, like probably a couple of years ago. I just said, mate, turn your camera around.
Yeah, but he's not aware of what's going on right now.
He's living in the past, mate. Living in the past. Yeah. So the thing that I was going to say that I don't think you are aware of is this big controversy that's happened on YouTube recently. Yeah. So there's a channel called The Fine Brothers. Mm-hmm. You may have heard of them. They do react videos, like kids react to too. And elders react to it, and they'll show them a clip and they'll react to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like watching their reactions. Yeah. Uh-huh. They didn't invent that, to be fair.
No.
But it's something that they have made their own, and they're very, very popular in YouTube, at least until recently, around the 14 million subscriber mark.
Wow.
Now, what happened last week, I want to get your opinions on it, essentially.
Okay.
Is this week, they released, they were annoyed because they'd seen a number of mainstream outlets copy their format. Ellen DeGeneres did something they weren't happy with, a few other people, and other YouTubers. So they wanted to protect that. And this is where it gets really interesting, because YouTube is becoming a business for a lot of people. You know, we all work on YouTube, amongst other things. Mm-hmm. So we can understand where they're coming from to an extent. What they want to do is protect that. They created something called React World, which is essentially a licensing deal and a trademarking situation where they, on one hand, wanted to stop people copying them. So they trademarked, they copyrighted some of their formats, which I think is fine. This is where it got confusing.
Do you want to explain what a format is, in case anyone's wondering?
Yes, so there's been a massive bad reaction to this. They're losing subscribers by the second. We'll actually get one of the guys to tell us exactly how many subscribers they're on in a minute. But what happened is they've tried to protect their format. Now, how that works is it's a mainstream TV model people do all the time. For instance, Deal or No Deal comes about. Mm-hmm. They cannot say no one else can do a game show. They mm-hmm. cannot say no one else can do a game show where you get money and have this many contestants. What they can say is that no one else can do a game show that has 22 boxes and you open the boxes and has a banker on the phone, and it's called Deal or No Deal. They can protect individual format points is what they're called, okay? So that's where the intellectual property comes in. So what the Fine Brothers have tried to do is protect the format points of their series, which is the way it looks visually, which is having certain things come in the lower third of the screen, which is using certain music, whatever. Those things. They have not tried to say no one else can do a reaction video. I think that's absolutely fine. That's my opinion.
That's exactly what television is.
Exactly. And
that's
some people were annoyed because they feel like it's YouTube trying to become corporate and businessy and TV, but that I don't think is a problem. Where it gets a little bit murky is they have apparently tried to trademark the word React.
I think what it is,
so I
to
can
me,
use that without.
So if you use that in a title, your video could, whether they would or not is a different question, but legally could be taken down.
To me, for example, if we take Spencer as an example, because everyone obviously listening has watched Spencer's content before, if you look at Spencer's Forever Blowing or Once a Lion, that is a Road to Glory done in a very specific kind of way. It's your way and nobody else does it that way. So therefore, you'd be well within your rights if you wanted to say, all right, I'm trademarking that style of pack opening that way. We have the hat and, this is how we've selected players from certain clubs.
The Pot of Destiny, cutting that. I mean, this is not something I would do, but
you'd be within
your
rights to do that because it was your idea. It wasn't anyone else's idea.
Obviously, Road to Glory existed way before me.
Yeah, if you tried to trademark Road to Glory, you would be out of order because then you'd be stopping other people just doing a regular Road to Glory. That
wouldn't be fair. And KSI did them way before anyone else. Like,
But what's happening with React is they're saying, oh, no, we were just trying to trademark our format. I think that they were trying to do a little bit more than that, I've got to be honest, because the more I looked into it, they've been flagging videos for a long time that they should never, ever have flagged, just on a power trip, quite honest with you. And when you get 14 million subscribers, I haven't even got 1 million, let alone 14 million, I can imagine that they start thinking that they can just do things like that, but... Yeah. I think as long as they keep it to their own stuff, fair enough. But once you start trying to flag people who are just trying to do, nice, honest video, that's out of order. And they have done that before.
Just to explain, Tom, what flagging means, it basically means you're getting a warning. Usually you get your video taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can come with a strike on YouTube as well, where if you get three of them, your channel goes away. You have no channel anymore.
You know the video you did when you were singing with...
Elton John.
Well, you sang with quite a few people.
Oh, with... The
girl,
Jessie J.
If that was an actual video made by someone else beforehand and you edited it to make it look like you... I mean, I knew you were really singing with that, but I'm just saying, if you weren't and someone flagged it, you'd then get a strike for example.
They're losing subscribers so rapidly. Someone actually did a live stream where you can watch their subscriber count go down
that.
And it's literally like every second it goes down 10 or 20.
Yeah.
I think they've lost 300,000 subscribers just today.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous. They're down to 13.7 million subscribers right now. I mean, they're definitely on well over 14 just yesterday when I was looking at it. So they're in problematic areas. The problem is that basically they're saying they're nice guys. They love the small guys on YouTube. They're not going to hurt anyone. But what they've actually done legally allows them to do things they shouldn't be allowed to do. And that's the problem. You can't allow them to have that power.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean,
how old are they?
They're both professional guys. They're both in their 30s. They're not on camera. They're producers behind the camera. So.
Oh, okay.
again, that's probably slightly part of the problem, that people kind of see him as this corporate entity that's doing stuff behind the scenes. But it's a really interesting turning point for YouTube, in my opinion, because I always say, people ask me what my long-term goals are, what I want to achieve, and I say that a year ago or so, I would have been like, oh yeah, YouTube's great, I love it. It'd be great if I can get loads of followers on YouTube and then go and get a mainstream job on TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel, as much as I would be interested in those opportunities, very different towards YouTube, which is you can actually do everything you want to do on YouTube. Look at the Wembley Cup, the things I've been able to do. Bench warmers is great. Mm-hmm. Like, these are really cool opportunities and you can do them. The difference is, you still, if you're going to do it long term and you are going to create these formats and do things that other people haven't done before, you do need to be able to protect them. You do need to have the right long term.
The problem, mate, is if it's a good, honest bloke like yourself who isn't going to abuse the system, that's fine. But the problem with YouTube is it is so easily abused. And I think that's why a lot of these creators are so frightened that this big, bad Fine Brothers channel, who's like 14 million subscribers or whatever it was, is going to come and just abuse the system, which they can easily do. YouTube's copyright strike system is it's pathetic.
Well, YouTube basically don't get involved. They let you do whatever you want. You want to strike someone, you strike someone. They want to repute it, and then it goes to court.
It's basically, to explain it to someone who might not understand, it's like I go up to Spencer and with a police officer and I say, he hit me, he's punched us, and then they lock you up straight away. There's no debate about, well, did he actually do this? They punish you and then ask if you did it later. That's a broken system. And that, I think that's why people are so frightened of what Fine Brothers are then doing.
Drama alert, again, this is a big thing this guy does. We talked about controversial things, mostly in the gaming community, but also YouTube. He did a thing about it, kind of making it a scandal. The best example I can think to something like this happening similar was with Gujon Daniel.
It's a PR disaster is what it is. Yeah, it's an absolute PR disaster.
Well, the worst thing for them is that they when you watch they made this video and they're announcing React World, right? And they're super hyped about it. They say things like, we're changing the world, we're changing the way YouTube works, we're doing all this stuff for the little guy. They're so happy that it's probably something, in the same way that Wembley Cup was a huge thing for me and it took me ages to do, they're probably planning this move for months and it's a big business move for them. And then 2 days later, they have to release an update video where they're literally like going to kill themselves. And they're like, guys, we got this really wrong. We're really sorry. Please stop like unsubscribing. And it's a really...
I think they got a little bit greedy potentially, like, and I think I think that's the way people are looking at it. The average person is looking at it that way. And like you say, so many YouTubers, this speaks volumes, that so many YouTubers have like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 million subscribers, but they might not get the views that would reflect that because they've got subs who subscribed ages ago and aren't really bothered anymore. But people are that bothered that they're like seeking this channel to purposefully go, I'm not subscribed to you anymore. So
I think the big problem with their situation is that they are so reliant on that one format. They're not a YouTubers in the sense that they create loads of different shows and loads of different things, and their thing is reacting.
Their product on their channel isn't them. You're not going for these guys, exactly. Quite clearly, by the way, they were on front of the camera the other day, like, to be quite honest. Like.
But you are going there for this specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my view is, because I've had people copy me before. Mm-hmm. My view isn't, oh, I'm going to make it legally impossible to copy me and do all these things. My view is, right, copy me a second time, copy me a third time, because you'll get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually someone, if they want to be successful, are going to have to come up with their own ideas. If someone copies me once, you know, I go, right, I'll come up with something better and I'll keep doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what I think you have to be able to do in this industry.
I did keep copying them a lot. I must admit. Those pack openings, I tell you, moneymaker. Thank you.
Yeah, I invented them. That's the thing as well. It's like, it is hard to stand out on YouTube. Like, how many, you know, not to take away from any of the guys in the community, a lot of them I've got a lot of respect for, but how many guys just open packs? Like, if we're talking about FIFA, it's actually quite sad how many people rely on that.
Yeah, it is. And it's boring, to be quite honest. I'm at the stage now as a fan of, I like the FIFA YouTube. I do my own like career mode and stuff. I'm not as heavy, like, it's a second channel to me, not the primary channel. But like the way, for example, the Christmas calendar pack up that you do, it's different, you know. And I see so many like largest, it's the same old thing, like searching for hours and hours, and then they like act surprised when they get someone after spending 10 grand on pack openings.
Yeah.
As a fan, like, I just want to say to them, like, how are you, man, lads? Come on, I think of something, try and jazz it up a little bit.
A lot of it's just acting, because you know, some of these guys, it doesn't affect their lives if they pack Ronaldo.
What's a pack opening, and why does it cost?
Imagine Premier League stickers when we were younger, opening stickers, but filming yourself opening the stickers, and then when you get shiny, going mental,
reacting,
but you've also got like silly amount of money in the bank,
brilliant.
Well, it was quite brilliant. For
genuinely
the first,
does
what, 6 months, and that's been about 5 years now.
Yeah, it was
and it's
great.
About 30
wasn't
people
it?
Doing it.
It was great, but it's just I feel like it, and I think in FIFA in general, outside of a few people with new ideas like Spencer, that I think we've seen a crash on FIFA, where there was a FIFA boom where a lot of, with all due respect, not amazingly charismatic individuals got massive amounts of subscribers before I joined, unfortunately. I wasn't there for that. But what's happening now is, you know, some people have gone on with that. You know, you've got KSI doing blooming music videos. And I've seen them on my telly the other day, I couldn't believe it. And then you've got you doing benchwarmers and all these other things. And I feel like there's other people who've just stuck in the mud and are out of ideas. And
some
just
people just get their girlfriends to open packs and
get the boobs out. You
know,
yeah,
genius, you really, know. Isn't it? I don't know how he thought of that.
As a grown man, I sort of think to myself, "What are you going to do? Are you going to be doing this when you're 50, mate, in the old people's home? Like, there has to be more ideas. Surely we've got to try and be better than this."
So that's what I think happens. You know, it's a new industry, it's a new world, and over time, the wheat gets separated. You know, the best guys come out on top. They're going to have ideas over a long period of time that stand out. Well, I'm not talking about myself necessarily, I'm talking about a load of different people that come through.
You're seeing YouTubers right now with some plus million subscribers, some hundreds of thousands, and the views are nowhere near what they should be for that size of channel. And I think eventually what's going to happen is, it doesn't matter how big a channel you've got, the viewers will choose to watch you or they won't. You know?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the community in general, but also this Fine Brothers thing. Can they come back from it? Are they going to be constantly hounded by dislikes from now on? I mentioned it briefly, the Gujon Daniel situation. He's now left YouTube. He was a close friend with this KSI character. Yeah. Yeah. They worked together a lot, made a lot of videos together.
Helped Gujon Daniel out a lot.
KSI helped him massively.
Gujon Daniel, is
he's
that his
Icelandic.
Name?
He talks like this, and he talks like he's got his back, the best bit about it is his actual name. But he, they basically fell out because Gujon kind of essentially used him a little bit. KSI called him on it, and it was his right to do that. And Gujon Daniel actually said something like, who's KSI in a video? Like, disrespected him in a big way. KSI spoke out. Long story short, his fans rallied, decided to just ruined.
They ended that
channel.
That real
that's,
quick.
That's a bit.
That was like Conor McGregor, gonna... Jose Aldo. Like,
things you could argue, as hard as it is on Gujon Daniel, his channel only really existed because of. We're all here. Honestly, all of us to some, not really you, Tom, but all of us to some degree owe thanks to KSI, either directly or indirectly.
A million percent.
I owe that man nothing. Like, I don't know him. I'm not knocking him, but I owe him nothing.
he's either directly liked a video or shared a channel, or he's just the fact that he's there and created this amount of demand for videos has helped us all. There's no denying that.
In every walk of life, you need the first person to walk through the door and open the door for
other
people.
Neil Armstrong.
And that's what he did, the 4-minute mile. Like, do you know what I mean? So, fair play.
He did a 4-minute mile on the moon.
He actually did that, yeah.
Whilst playing the trumpet.
You always need someone to open the doors for. And another thing, I think there was a bit of a stigma with YouTube, like, oh, it's just a bunch of daft kids or people putting videos out with their pets doing tricks, which obviously Spencer's now really.
I've moved into that.
He's moved back into
I've
that.
Seen
he's
the
brought it back. He
thought, he's got his own.
That's
Instagram.
Classic.
He's flying.
Opening packs with a dog. See, that's how you make it different, to be fair, though. But you know what I mean?
I mean, to be fair, if I open packs 9 times out of 10, I'll just do it on stream, on Twitch, because I need to open them for some other reason. Like, I'll do it this team of the season.
What's streaming? What's Twitch? I don't even know.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Come on, they're not, that's not an everyday
how
thing.
How did you do that? How are you even here? How did you end up here? You are really lucky you know Spencer. Do you realise that? you are his Carl Pilkington. I've just realised. You would probably be...
Not.
Definitely. Homeless if it wasn't for Spencer.
He's my well, that would be.
Yeah, I think he still is.
Yes, that explains the hair.
Well, and the sweet jumper.
You need to keep this kind of team banter for benchwarmers today. You know,
I
like
will.
It. Yeah, keep it strong.
I love the guy. Really, he's all right.
Speaking of team banter, we want to hear one more read from the Shinpad Chronicles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't let me
get the papers out. He's actually got it on. Is it actually written down? He's actually handwritten this.
This is handwritten because it's the new stuff. I'm writing new
stuff.
Oh,
it's new.
Well, not
fresh off the press.
No, it's I wrote ages ago, but then I haven't typed it up.
You haven't put it on the typewriter yet.
In fact, you know what? Hang on.
Okay, so let's remind ourselves where we were. So if you don't know what this is, guys...
We're in a very different part.
He's just going through his paper. Bloody hell, you need to page number these bad boys.
Yeah,
you've got
I'm
a
so
lot
sorry.
Of pieces of paper.
Jesus Christ.
It's all written in pencil.
It's
like a history essay.
This is exactly what I would expect his brain to
There's drawings
like,
there, horse?
I mean,
What the hell? What is that a picture of?
That looks like, you know when you see like modern art?
Yeah.
I mean, It's a face. But
it's a face with a face. It's a face. This is, I mean,
one eye is going to take a picture. Oh, the other's coming back with a change.
I'm going to take a picture of it and tweet it out because people listening won't be able to see this. This is a picture of diseases spread. Right, I got this whole piece of paper. Hang on.
Wait. No, that's...
He doesn't think
there
normal.
We go. I've got that for later. I'll tweet that out later, guys. You want to see this random piece of paper we just found amongst Tom Gray's notes. Right, so Shinpo Chronicles is the story of your sort of Ipswich-based youth career, village football career.
That's correct.
What's happened so far? You've done two excerpts for us. I think you just scored a penalty loss.
Oh, probably. These are from different parts of the book all over. Okay. So
it is a book, and it's available in no bookstores? Or?
It's available in all good bookstores, but... There aren't any currently in the UK, so unfortunately,
it's currently available on your A4.
It's currently
notepad.
Available on my on
come
my
up
notepad
there in the street
and in my
tell
head,
you about
and
it.
And maybe in the future, you know, in
PDF form.
In PDF form. So this is a little section which, as I look at it now, scrawled on the bit of paper, I realise I might struggle to read clearly. So let's give it
what did you write that with?
Biro.
Did you just dip your fingernail in a bit of ink? And
no, it's
go?
One of those blue biros that has four clips. It's like green, red, blue, black.
Right, yeah, decent, all right. Decent. All right, on with the show.
Okay, so this is a section. This is basically, it's come around to Christmas and it's the transfer window. Is the idea.
Yeah, the January transfer window in the Ipswich area.
Which yes, that's right, okay.
Was that around back then, was it? Was
well,
just specific
we're about to find out.
All right.
The transfer window. The lower down league football you go, the more you tend to find clubs adopt a European-style winter break. And though Curtin Kestrels were a respected 3rd Division East Anglian junior team, we also abided by such an approach. I have to admit I appreciated this, being able to see the family at Christmas, no training.
Wait a second.
Playing with the kids.
Is this like when you had games called off because of the rain?
East Anglian approach.
Being able to see the family,
oh,
your mum and dad.
On January the 6th at 2:14 p.m., the phone rang. I knew this was the exact time as I was sat in the lounge playing with a stopwatch, trying to see how long I could hold my breath for with my brother. My mum called through, and even though I hadn't heard the ringing of the phone, or if I hadn't heard the door, I'd have known it was a... I'm not going to be able to do...
Go on, keep going.
I can't read it.
Just keep reading.
Okay. The man on the other end was Carl Birch's father, manager of the Felixstowe Colts, the best team in the league. They'd struggled for goals in the first half of the season thanks to Daniel Anson shattering his pelvis. They were second and 5 points off Riverside. Carl's dad had been at the school's 14-0 drumming when I'd scored my hat-trick. I'd also become somewhat of a hero as Warren Willoughby, the school journalist, had run a story about me with a picture saying how Tom had made it a grey day for Bucklesham. At parents' evening before Christmas, Carl Birch's dad... do you know what? I can't actually read my own writing. I'm so sorry. That's been a chapter from the Shinpo Chronicles by Thomas Gray.
Is that it? Oh, wow, OK. So you can't read your own writing.
I should have written on a computer, Spencer. I'm so sorry. There's lots of laughter there, though. You can edit that. You can.
We've learned a lesson there, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You can't read or write.
I can't read. I can't write.
But you can play football.
He's got a book.
And he was tried, almost signed by someone from Felixstowe, which is a big deal if you're from the area.
That is true.
In Suffolk, you know, Felixstowe is the place to go. It's like the Manchester of Suffolk, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah. That's what everyone says. They said it, yeah.
Fair play, Tom. Well, I look forward to a reading that you can actually read next time.
Thanks, man.
But that was enjoyable. That was enjoyable.
Well, I just got giggles.
Well done, mate.
Right, guys, should we go and record some bench warmers?
I'm going to go to McDonald's. Do you want to come?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for listening, guys. This has been the Spencer FC podcast with True Geordie and Thomas Gray. True Geordie, where can people follow you, find you?
Just search True Geordie on YouTube and I'll pop up, mate.
Just search True Geordie. Mm-hmm. He's got the True and Geordie.
Actually, if you just search True or Geordie, I pop up either way.
Oh my god!
Mate, that's how
before
high up I am.
Before True Detective.
Mate, True Detective's below me.
Oh my
if
god!
If you write to her
Matthew
off.
McConaughey below the Geordie.
And Tom Gray, I imagine they have to type more than just Thomas or
no,
Gray.
No, you just have to write to her or, and then the first thing that comes on YouTube is Thomas Gray. But that's mainly because I search it loads, and so it's obviously
aristocratic gathering.
Okay, yeah. So just search Thomas Gray.
Thomas Gray, yeah. Or do you know, go to my YouTube. I don't just do that.
Do go to his YouTube if you like vertically filmed iPhone videos, which I must say are funny.
That's kind of you.
They're much funnier than they are horizontal.
There's one video called My Process I would highly recommend, but he explains what happens behind the scenes for a YouTuber to create a video.
Yeah,
really just and cuffs
you.
This
is how
Thank
I do
you
it.
So much.
Definitely how I
yeah.
do it. Thanks. Yeah, search Thomas Gray with an A on YouTube to find that. We have to say a massive thanks to DreamTeamFC.com who make this all possible. Check out the website. They've got lots of good stuff on there, including my weekly blog where I talk about all sorts of things and also answer questions. It's lovely fun for everyone. Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, True Geordie. Let's go film some bench warmers. Until next time, I'll see you when you're older. Don't go changing.